after is where we're our hearts, what you would have us to have. And Lord, we're so thankful for your word. So thankful for your word. Your word of grace, your word of love. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you ready to continue Paul's first missionary journey? We're ready for verse 13. Verse 13, chapter 13, verse 13 of Acts. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. Paul's and his company, they left Paphos in Cyprus, right here, and they have sailed up here to Perga. Okay, I guess you followed me. Okay. Of course, they took a ship from Cyprus there, and Perga means very earthy, and perhaps it was a beautiful place, but they needed the gospel, as do all the earthly places. Very earthy. And Pamphylia means mingled people. And isn't that a good place to tell the different nationalities the good news of Christ? And then we read when they, you know, this is the third point of the missionary journey, his first missionary journey. And what do we read? That John Mark, who had been with them, ministering unto them, in other words, as a helper, he now deserts them. And he leaves them and he returns to Jerusalem. He could no longer endure the work. Didn't the Holy Spirit say that he separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work? Well, it seemed like he could no longer endure the work that the apostles were called to by the Holy Ghost. And willing to serve them, because they're hazarding their lives unto death. And he proves unstable. And it was sure easier to go back to Jerusalem than to continue on with them, because back in Jerusalem, there was a large number of believing Jews in Jerusalem. And of course, to be with them would comfort him. And John's name, John Mark, John means gift or favor of God. And Mark means the polite or shining one. But his wonderful name, as wonderful as it is, did not keep him going in this strenuous way. But we note that later, and we know by the word, that later it is Mark, who had not been faithful on this first service to the Lord, he later wrote of Jesus Christ, the faithful servant of Jehovah, and that's the Gospel of Mark. And so God had done a work in him that made him willing even to be a servant unto Paul, and he became profitable for the ministry, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:11. That's in 2 Timothy 4:11. I'll just read it real quick. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So the Lord had done a work in him, and it's and certainly had changed him. Thank the Lord for the work of the Lord. And you know, this is a rich lesson for everyone, not just for those who are called into the ministry, but this is a valuable lesson for everyone. When we think about John Mark and his first service for the Lord, it was as an attendant. We might say as an underling, which he left and he took the easy path. You've all heard the saying that says, some take the train instead of the training. Well, he took the easier path. But afterwards, after the work of the Lord in his life, he became willing to serve. And then the Holy Spirit made a minister of him, of a more spiritual character. And, you know, if any of us desire promotion, be content with whatever ministry that the Lord gives you. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem to us, but be faithful to it. And then you will be promoted when you do it for the glory of God. You will be. Take courage. Serve the Lord faithfully. And the Lord will enlarge your usefulness and your ministry unto him. Isn't that a valuable lesson? Yes. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch. Now, on the map here, let's see if I can get this to light again. Sometimes I can. All right, see, here's Perga. See, here's Antioch. So they go up to Antioch. And that's where mainly our lesson is tonight. This, you know, I told you before, there's two Antiochs. And this is Antioch of Pisidia. And just think, they are several hundred miles now from where they began their journey. They began their journey from Antioch in Syria. Yeah, over here. So here they have been here, 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 and now they're up to this Antioch. Okay. So they're several hundred miles from where they began. And it was always their custom to go into the synagogue of the Jews first. And we see that's what they do here on the Sabbath day. And they just sit down. But when they departed from Perga and came to Antioch of Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, they sat down. They just sit down. How wise when you are among strangers to sit and wait. There's an interesting line in Isaiah 30, verse 7. It says, their strength is to sit still. I thought that's interesting. Verse 15, and after, now they're in the synagogue, and they've sat down, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. So when they ask, then Paul, he stands up. And then, you know, the Lord gave him this opportunity. They came and asked him, did they have something? And he addresses them as men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give attendance. And we see in following Paul's ministry that he spoke differently to the Jews than he did to the Gentiles. I think you will see that tonight. How did he speak to the Jews here? And we will see when we get to it, and we compare this portion to how he preached to the Gentiles when he gets to Athens. It's quite different. And he wisely preaches to the Jews from the Old Testament and tactfully speaks of their history, bringing them up to the birth of Christ, the descendant of King David. This is another good lesson for all believers to be mindful to who we are speaking. We don't want to drown them. We want to lead them to Christ. We don't want to dump the whole load at once on them. They're not able. I knew a woman. I was a young girl, but I knew a woman, an older woman. She was very zealous. She was very bold, but she was not very wise. She would force herself on strangers, even on the street, down on Quindaro in Kansas City, Kansas. And she would preach to them about the bride of Christ. She didn't even know whether they were saved or not. They were strangers on the street. See how she had a lot of zeal? She was very bold, but very unwise. You know, when Jesus sent forth his disciples, what did he say to them? Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And may we be led of the Holy Spirit when we speak to others. And if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, we will be wise. You know, sometimes somebody will ask you what you believe. Don't give them the whole load. Just start with the beginning. You know, how have we learned? We've learned little by little, haven't we? And ones aren't ready to receive all. So if they ask you what you believe, don't give them the whole load. Be wise. All right, verse 17, he begins. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Now, what you're speaking on Sunday night, isn't that interesting that he destroyed? It was the Lord, God, that destroyed those seven nations in the land of Canaan, and he divided their land to them by lots. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, I think is how you say it, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And now he proceeds to give them a new item of history. Verse 23, of this man's seed, referring to King David. He said, of this man's seed hath God according to his promise. That's really important right there. I underlined that. According to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you know of him, Paul calls him this salvation. When we get down to verse 26, let's read down there, 24. When John had first preached before his coming, the Savior Jesus coming, the baptism of repentance unto all people of Israel, then as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Now verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. In that, see, he's calling Jesus this salvation. Yes. Unto you hath God sent this salvation. What? According to his promise. Paul announces him to be the glad tidings, as we're going to read. That's in verse 32. We'll get to that. Yes, that he announces him as the glad tidings, and that's fulfilling their own holy scriptures. Verse 27, for they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, yet are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. They fulfilled the scriptures. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you, what? Glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the Father, God hath fulfilled. Yes, he keeps his word. He's promised to come again, and he will keep his word. He will come again. Well, I'm getting off my track here. Now, is the glad tidings. Now that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Scripture explains scripture, doesn't it? Isn't that so good? Isn't that wonderful? The statement from the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, it is explained here that it means Christ's resurrection. Verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And we find the sure mercies of David described in Psalms 89, as God there promises Jesus' millennial reign. All right, let's go on to verse 35. Wherefore he saith unto in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That's Psalm 16:10. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Praise the Lord. Yes. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. isn't this a wonderful sermon? Oh, what a wonderful sermon. He not only taught forgiveness of sins to them, but he taught also justification. And there is a difference. An offended party can forgive an offense because he chooses to do so, but he cannot justify the offense of the offender. The offender remains offender forever. But the offended Jehovah can justify the offender. Yes. He not only forgives our sins, but he covers them. Praise the Lord. That's what we read in Romans 4:7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. This truth is so precious. Just think, the offended God can see them no more. And the forgiven stands as if he had never been ungodly. He stands righteous before the God of the universe. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And we learn in Romans 3:23 and also in Romans 5:9 how that this was made possible because Christ paid our debt in his death for us. God no longer imputes sin to us, but instead he imputes righteousness to us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, and also verse 21, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. The moment we believe, just think on this, the moment that we believe, we're counted righteous, just like Abraham. It says of Abraham, he believed God and he was counted righteous. Yes. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read verse 39 again because I want that last part to go into the next. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Well, I'm glad to read that again. From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that those words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Oh, praise the Lord. There were Jews and Gentiles that received the grace of God. The Gentiles were especially spiritually receptive and teachable. Verse 44 through 46. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear what? The word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. I underlined that. They waxed bold. They didn't shrink away and hide their faces or anything. They waxed bold and said, it is necessary that what? The word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jews. But seeing ye have put it from you, and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Paul and Barnabas, their habit was to go to the synagogue and present the gospel to the Jew first. Yes. But what does it say? They judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. That's the way God looked upon their rejection of salvation. They wanted to have merit in themselves. Yes. Well, many Gentiles are guilty of the same attitude. They judge themselves unworthy. But there is no merit or worthiness in the old creation. It is in Christ that we are worthy, for we are a new creation in Him. The new life is His life, eternal life, and it is worthy. It is accepted. As we read in verse 39, I'll have to read that, look at it again. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Yes. So Paul and Barnabas, they turn to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us. They turned to the Gentiles. This wasn't their own idea. No. It says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified what? The word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord, here we have it again, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. In this portion that we just read, Paul quotes from two verses that are found in Isaiah. that proves that the Jews, proved to the Jews that the gospel was to go to the Gentiles. That's found in Isaiah 42:6 and 49:6. I don't know. I didn't plan to read them, but maybe I should. Anyway, it tells that the light unto the Gentiles. I'll just turn and read it. Let's see. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand, I will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And then also 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. See the portion that Paul had quoted here? He quotes parts of those verses in this that we just read. And we notice too, I tried to emphasize that. What is emphasized? The word of God. First in verse 44 and verse 46, I underlined that. The word of God was heard. And all who received the word of the Lord and believed received eternal life. Verse 48. Yes, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What did they believe? They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. That's what I wanted to read. And verse 46, did I give that one? Yes, yes. And verse 49, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Thank God for the door of faith that was open to the Gentiles. The gospel is for all people. Because did we not read in verse 47, and this is quoted from Isaiah, that thou shouldest be for salvation, how far? Yes, the ends of the earth. It's for all people. All right, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they, speaking of Paul and Barnabas, they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. They went on their journey, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So we have read in this portion, the word has gone forth from the apostles, but we read of those who have closed their hearts against the truth, especially verse 45 and verse 50, how they, and you know, what does that do? It leaves at least an opening for Satan, doesn't it? And that's just exactly what happened. In verse 45, the Jews saw the multitude and they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the cities and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast there. But the result of believing the word of God, I like this in verse 52 is joy. Yes, is joy. They were expelled. Yes, they were expelled from Antioch, but the word of grace produced many believers there, Jew and Gentile. And so they leave with joy, it says, and with the Holy Ghost. Well, we're given the next stop on the journey. It's Iconium. Well, that's for the next lesson. Well, the Lord bless you. So we're on our way with Paul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.